may be done. So with that said, I'm not sure who all is on the phone. So, you know, there'll be some scriptures that I'll ask if someone wants to read, and I won't pick a person, so if you just start reading, it's fine. And whatever your translation is, it's absolutely fine, because I'll have additional translations that I may speak on just to kind of break the word down to give us a better understanding of what the word is saying. So, again, you have your Bible, you have some paper, a pen, or pencil. Just because in order for us to be able to apply God's word to our life, it's not just about reading it. It's not just about quoting it. It's not about memorizing it. But we have to get to a point where we dig into God's word and it becomes our everyday life. And a lot of times that's easier said than done, because situations and circumstances, we second guess ourselves, or, you know, God's word may not be the first thing that comes to our mind. So then that's not what we are applying. But we are in prayer that through Bible study, through the preaching of the word, through our everyday life, that we do grow spiritually. And with that being said, it's no respecter of age or person as to growth. We all, regardless of where we are, how much we know, we still need to learn how to grow in God's word. And so when we talk about spiritual growth and spiritual maturity, the different levels, there are all kinds of levels. And that will depend on maybe what church you belong to, even if you attend church or don't attend church. I mean, it's all over the place. It's a spectrum. So we all could be from the exact same church, having the exact same pastor, but what I take away may be different than what you would take away from God's word. So day by day, as we go through our experiences in life, I'm going to ask the question, what is the best way to grow when it comes to spiritual growth? Give me some examples. You can throw out some words, tell me some things. Just let me know.
This is Pastor Ben. I think you should first have a teachable spirit.
Okay.
You have to be teachable.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So, Pastor, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is Beverly, and I agree with what Pastor Beth said about the teachable spirit. Yeah, and I feel like you have to be willing to look beyond what's in front of you, you know, what you can see.
Okay.
So an open mind, open mind.
Okay, teachable spirit, an open mind. Anybody else?
You have to have that desire. You have to want. You have to want to grow.
Okay. Anybody else?
Spiritual growth is past best, and it's a process. And once you try, or you start, and the Holy Spirit helps you to keep that growth moving forward. That's one thing. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church or how old you are. You should want to grow spiritually.
Amen.
Just a thought.
Yeah, and that has some truth, because a lot of times, the longer we're in church, we feel like, oh, well, I'm just older. No. If God keeps us around, he's keeping us for a reason. So there's always, you know, and I've heard it said, and most of the time older people say, there's something new that you can learn every day. Well, most of us will feel like, okay, yeah, but at some point in time, I'm finished learning. But we should never be finished learning. Because spiritually, as long as God is allowing us to live and be a part of this earth, there's something that he still wants us to know. There's something that we can learn. And so to have a desire, to have an open mind, to have a teachable spirit, most people would say, you know, by praying and reading the Bible, that you're going to have spiritual growth. And that has some truth to it. That has some truth to it. But when we get into God's Word in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter, the 13th verse.
Say that again.
1 Corinthians 13th chapter, 13th verse. That's going to be the first scripture. I'm going to put that out there just so you can take your time and find that. Would be the first scripture that we're going to read. So we say, we said desire, open mind, teachable spirit, to pray and to read the Bible. A mature Christian continually grows in faith, hope, and love. And so, in order for a mature Christian to continually grow in faith, hope, and love, and that faith, hope, and love is for God and for each other. So, when we are mature Christians, because there again, there's all kinds of levels. And so, depending upon the level, and there are days and times. So there may be one day that we're very mature Christians, and we're able to handle things, and our faith and our love and everything is intact and it's where it needs to be. And there are other days that we're baby Christians. It just doesn't work out well. Everything just doesn't line up the way it should. And that doesn't come from God's word, but that comes from the world around and the things that we deal with and all of that. But the hope is that we would be mature Christians. Okay? Go ahead. Does somebody have something to interject? Okay, so I'm going to read a poem, okay, and I usually start my Bible studies by reading a poem or some kind of saying, but then I jumped right in. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to read this poem, and it's called Life. A philosophy professor stood before his class and had some items in front of him. When class began, wordlessly, he picked up a large empty mayonnaise jar, proceeded to fill it with rocks about 2 inches in diameter. He then asked the students if the jar was full. They agreed that it was. So the professor then picked up a box of pebbles and poured them into the jar. He shook the jar lightly. The pebbles, of course, rolled into the open areas between the rocks. He then asked the students again if the jar was full. They agreed it was and laughed. The professor picked up a box of sand and poured it into the jar. Of course, the sand filled up everything else. Now, said the professor, I want you to recognize that this is your life. The rocks are the important thing. Your family, your partner, your health, your children. Anything that is so important to you that if it were lost, you would nearly be destroyed. The pebbles are the things that matter, like your job, your house, your car. The sand is everything else, the small stuff. If you put the sand into the jar first, there is no room for the pebbles or the rocks. The same goes with your life. If you spend all your energy and time on the small stuff, you will never have room for the things that are important to you. Pay attention to the things that are critical to your happiness. Play with your children. Take care of your body. Take your partner out dancing. Talk to your teenagers. And this may be for some of you, your grandkids or the kids in church. Show the love you feel for the people you care about. Take care of the rocks first, the things that really matter. Set your priorities. The rest is just sand. And so, you know, and listen to that, you know, a lot of times we say we're busy, we have this, we have that going on. But it's important for our spiritual growth. It's important for us to spend time with God in His Word. And when we're spending time in His Word and with God, we are to the point where we are not just getting to know about God, but we're getting to know Him. And there's a difference in knowing about somebody versus knowing them for yourself. And so the challenge with this Bible study, with this growth, is that we get to know God better. Not just to know about Him, not to just read His scriptures, but as we read God's Word, that we find Him in the pages, that we find what it is that He's saying to us, so that we can be able to grow and be that mature Christian. Okay, so 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, starting at the 13th.
We need somebody to read.
Mary Hughes, please.
And now by the faithful charity. These three. But the greater of these is charity.
Yeah. Okay. Does someone else have a different translation?
What? That's 13, chapter 3.
That's 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 13th verse.
Okay, I'm in the wrong chapter. I thought you said 13. First chapter, 13th chapter, first verse.
13th chapter, 13th verse, 13.
Okay, thank you. I can't hear it. Now, by the same hope, turn to these three, but the grace of these. That same thing that Reverend Hughes read, I have this version. I'm reading from the Lexham English Bible, and it says this. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love.
Okay. Any other translations out there?
And now about faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Okay. So, I am going to read the Amplified Christian Version, and it says, and so, faith, hope, love abide. Faith, conviction, and belief, respecting man's relation to God in divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And so in this, it talks about faith, the conviction and belief of respecting man's relation to God, hope, being joyful and confident. But then when it gets to love, I like the way they had it. They say love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. And so the only way that we truly love one another is that God would show us how to do that. That it's God's love for us and in us that we're able to love God and that we're able to love one another. And a lot of times, instances, we love out of who we are. And instead of loving, sometimes we end up hurting one another. Whether it's through word, whether it's through deed, it's our actions, our look, it can be all kinds of things. But when we're living out of, growing out of the love that God has given us, then that's that perfect love. And so the next scripture that we're going to handle tonight, I want to stop right there. So when we talk about this, now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. What does that say? What does that mean? Let's have a conversation.
Faith is amazing. God.
Okay.
And his word.
Okay.
Hope is a prayer and allowing intercede for God, that God is Jesus interceding for us, and that hope.
Okay.
And God is the same as love.
Yes.
And we have to love one another as God has loved us. And we can love one another. So we can't say we love God and don't love one another.
Oh.
Okay.
But we do that sometimes.
Yeah, we do it.
Okay.
But we got to love man, so we can love God. If we don't love God, we don't love the sin, so we love man, we're a liar.
Okay.
I do agree with you. Because even as we experience it at this time, we have to learn how to love more.
Okay, yes. Whoever thought we were
able to this, even we're trying to have Bible study in church, and some churches doing Sunday school online, it's hard. Trying to adjust to this new moment. But that's why we have to make sure God is basically, I believe he's holding us accountable. There's a lot of times when we should have been loving in the beginning and having faith and trust in him, and this is drawing us closer to him.
Yeah.
Just any other thing that we've experienced. In order, and so he's counting us to let us, dealing with faith, hope, and love, you can see things at a time like this. Hope is knowing that no matter what happens, God is there with us, and believing that which we cannot see, and standing on something in which we know is there, but oftentimes we don't realize it.
That's true. Anybody else want to talk? If you're not talking, we might want to mute your phone, because if we give you some feedback, if you know how to mute your phone. If you can. But if you need to talk or say something, just unmute your phone and join right in. Anybody else?
Yes. What was your question was more so just a conversation about it?
Right. So So 1 Corinthians 13:13. And, you know, he says the greatest piece of this love, faith, hope, and love. You know, what is your take? What is your thought on that? What
that faith and that hope. Okay, how can I say it? If you got love by itself, that faith and that hope is going to come in there. If you had faith by itself, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have that hope and that love, you know, like you should. But when you have faith, you have love, you're going to have all of that. It's going to come together. I believe that, as the Bible says, that love is the most important thing. No, we don't show love like, or we don't love as we should all the time. That is true. But in the same respect that what was said by Reverend Hughes and Pastor Beth, bottom line is that we need to, this is our training ground. We need Amen. To be able to love people. And you learn each day, okay, I can love this way. Sometimes people have different love languages. Sure. And I'm learning more that some people, you can't respond to them this way. You have to respond to them that way because this way is not the way it works for them. And people receive things differently. So, you know, it's a matter of learning. And as you learn, and like right now, like you said, with this COVID-19 situation, you're having to learn more how to, you know, how to embrace the person that may be rude to you just because you accidentally called. Or, you know, you have to learn how to look beyond that mask and actually look into somebody's eyes. You know, a lot of times we'll walk into Walmart and we'll see somebody's facial expression and we'll automatically come to a conclusion and we don't want to show genuine compassion or something for another person. And if we have to wear these masks and those who are wearing them, you have to look at a person's eyes, see their sincerity, or even if you don't see their sincerity, you know, much of enough courage to show their sincerity. If it ain't no morning, excuse me, I was in your way. You know, being able to use your words and not having to use your eyes to cut somebody off. So I said all that to say I love to just wear it, man. And we are learning that process, man.
Yes. So Minister Holmes brought up some great points in reference to love and there being love languages. There's a great book if you are a reader, and it's called The Five Love Languages. Because just the way that we may be or the way that we want somebody to love us, if a person does not know you and does not take the time to get to know you, they may not understand your love language. They may not understand how to love you because a lot of times we may be family, we may be in the same church, we may be of the same acquaintance of one another, but we really don't know one another. And so that brings on some and concerns and ways in which we kind of don't fit together. So the love that could or should be showing, we're not doing such a great job at it. But with everything that's going on now in the world, with us having to be confined to our homes, it's the only way that we can really interact with one another is over the phone or through text message, or if we even see each other, you know, we can't embrace maybe like we you know would have done in the past. So this is going to bring about a whole new level of learning how to love one another.
That's so true, and yeah, Minister Frisbee and Minister Holmes, I like what both of you said. I've noticed I have people now, I have one member from our church that just about every day click on me. I have even members from my former church I've passed calling just to check on me, you know, and I appreciate it, but it causes us to think about, you know, how much of an impact you make on certain people. Some people you may not impact at all, but some people, you know, what we're experiencing now causes them to. So different types of love in this unusual time, and it's amazing because If ever we needed to really love people, we really need to do it now.
Amen. Amen.
This virus, this thing is serious. It is very, that some people are not even taking it seriously as it is. And it bothers me, myself, because I'm a person, I love people. I love hugging and shaking hands. And I don't want anybody to take it the wrong way. I was raised that way. It's just me. And some people, you know, don't want to be hugged. But all of us need that embrace. Because a lot of times we don't get that from anybody.
That's true.
And it really makes a difference. I was reading a book last week, and it talked about the difference of hug or handshake. And it's important. You could inspire or help somebody and have a rough day, and you could just turn their world upside down with just that handshake or that hug. And it doesn't even have to be sexual. Just my thought when I was reading that book and what we're talking about, deals with it really goes hand in hand.
Yes. And you know, just like Ms. Holmes said about now wearing the mask, you know, you have to look at people's eyes and, you know, you're not able to see facial expression. And it really does land us in a different place to have to interact with people, you know, because even say with the mask on their face, the mental social distance, you know, if somebody is, you know, like Ms. Cook said, in the aisle and you want to come fast, you know, you have to use your words now to say, excuse me, I'm coming around you, or whatever, you know, to keep that conversation flowing because of the fact of everything that's going on now. At the same time, we are learning and we are growing because there were times when even if we were in somebody's face, we didn't say, excuse me. You just went on and went and did what you had to do. But this is almost taking us back to beginning levels where we are learning how to interact with one another. And so this love is going to be most important that we grow spiritually and get to know God better, the love that we will share, the love that we will give off will be love that can help and bless the next person, that they will see the God in us. So is there anyone else that would like to share or imagine? Give us anything on that.
Yes, could I read a little commentary from my Bible on Peter Evans?
Yes, sir.
On the 13th verse, it says, spiritual gifts are valued only in this life. And all I have they are used to build up faith, hope, and love. These greater realities have eternal significance. Eventually, faith will become sight. Hope will be fulfilled. However, love, the greatest of all, will remain unchanged.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Good.
This is, being home. Can you hear me? My phone's been acting crazy. Can y'all hear me?
We can.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you said the same thing that I had before me,
yeah.
And it said pretty much the same thing, and it's referring to, you know, when we have eternal rest, when we're in that eternal state,
right.
And mine says the same, pretty much the same thing, faith will no longer be necessary, because the redeemed will see him face to face.
Right.
Hope, as you said, would no longer be necessary because our hope would have been perfectly realized because we're with him.
Right.
Blessed love will remain and it will finally be known without the taint of sin. Because in our state, here and now in this world, love love is displayed to different people, and you're going to say it different ways. And some people love conditionally. You know, it's there. You're not supposed to, but you got to admit that it's there. But the main reason, you know, that the greatest of these is love is because when we get to eternal state, then it's not going to be us. We're there with God, and it's going to be the pure stuff.
Amen.
So that's what we're working towards. That love we know.
Right, we are.
You know, but it says, you know, the greatest of these is love. That's how you would live, you know, when it is. It's the reason why. You're right. It's an everyday thing. We have discussed the battle center before. It's just hard. There's some people, you know, to love some people. I'll be honest. But it's something that we must do, and you know, we have to do it. We must love. I'm gonna say it's hard to love some people, maybe because of you know, their ways or whatever. But we have to get to the point where we can look at other people through the eyes of our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen.
You love people, but
you
don't have to love their
weight. Ooh, I hear it. But digging out, does that take some work?
Yes, that's true, but that's the way it is.
That is the way it is. Yes. I would like to add with that is if we don't love what they do, but we love the person.
Right.
But eventually our actions have to align with the love that we have for the person.
Right.
Because we have to look at the person with love and not the action. And it's hard to separate the two because it's coming from the person. Does that make sense to y'all? Yeah, but that's spiritual maturity. That's because of the love that you have with and for God. See, everybody ain't there. So if that takes some work, and like I say, one day we can be good, and the next day we can be taught. So it makes sense. It makes perfect sense what you're saying. But that's that day that you are really in tune with God. You're in line with what it is that you have to do that day. And so you're able to display and express love beyond what you might would do on another day. You are on a day that you're not in tune with what it is that God is using you for. Because that's ultimately God using us, working through us, allowing us to see past that person's actions, past that person's weight. And every day we're not, you know, it's not a day that we're able to do that.
In response to what Ellison was talking, I said that we love the person, we don't know, might not know what they're doing, but even God himself loves all of us, but he doesn't like to see it. Hey, but he loves us.
That's a good point, and we all sin and fall short, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he loves us in spite of.
Yeah, right. He's in spite of all things.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, God is still working with us. If God knows that we are not perfect, then why should we look for perfection out of us? When we
are still. Oh, that's how we do that. Oh, why do we do that? Well, maybe not perfection,
But there are areas that might become better in.
No, we're not, none of us are perfect.
And never will be.
Says that the saying is that practice makes perfect. But the saying should be practice made for improvement. We are never perfect.
I like that.
Perfect practice makes perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect.
But we're not going to ever be perfect until we are no longer here.
Does she not say perfect practice makes perfect?
Oh, okay, so we're practicing to make it in. Okay. Okay. All right. But that's the story. Aren't we supposed to drive the fourth section? Or are we? Say that again, take it home. Are we supposed to drive the fourth section?
Drive for it.
Are we supposed to drive for it? For perfection toward it, you know, we're supposed to strive to be perfect. Well, it could be perfect, knowing that we're not going to reach a perfect state until we leave here. But our example is Jesus, and so in here, walking and you know, healing and just loving people in spite of what they said or did is our example. So we can't be in a state of just messed up, all kinds of messed up, and think it's okay. That doesn't matter, because it does matter. And we know we would not be perfect. But like you said, we're striving to be perfect, to be better, to do things that we know. And so coming into realization of who God is and what he requires of us is going to help us get to a better state. And even sometimes if we know it, we know, but we still don't do. And that's because we're not walking as closely as we should with God, because if we were, then we would be baptized. We would be, feeling like we're held accountable when we do things that we shouldn't do. And that's part of getting to know God, but not just knowing about him. Okay. So we're going to move on to Matthew 22, starting at the 36th verse. So Matthew 22, starting at the 26th verse. Okay. 36 says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in law?" I'm going from the New King James Version. Okay. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." You want me to keep going? Yes, ma'am.
34. And the second, And the second is like this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law, and all the law and the prophets." Wow, the first.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else have a different presentation that they'd like to read? I can look up another one if I want to. You can. Reverend Bass.
I'm here.
Can you look up Deuteronomy 6:5 and hold that one for me?
Deuteronomy 6:5.
Uh-huh.
Chapter 6, verse 5, okay?
Chapter 6, verse 5. Dig it home. Yes. Can you look up Leviticus 19th chapter 18th verse and hold that for me?
19:18.
Okay. 19:18 Leviticus. Do you have another translation?
Yeah, I got the NIV.
Okay.
Okay.
It says,
Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets came on these two commandments.
Okay, thank you. So, we're in Matthew, New Testament, and so Matthew 22:37, as Minister Holmes just read, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Reverend Bass, can you read Deuteronomy 6:5 for me?
Deacon Bass is here.
I know you always want to do it.
Alright, and you shall love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might.
Okay. So, we're in Matthew, New Testament. But even if we look in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6 and 5, the same thing. And so, if we look at the 39th verse, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Dig it home. Can you read Leviticus 19:18?
Yeah. It says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Okay. So, this is even before the New Testament, even before this showed up on the scene. So, as we know, God's word does not change. It does not change. And Old Testament, we know we have the commandments. New Testament, we have what he says as far as to love the Lord our God with all our mind is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So regardless of whether we do Old Testament reading, New Testament reading, God's word is his word. What are your thoughts about that? We're still dealing with love.
My thoughts on it, love has stayed the same as the scripture said that it stayed the same, and people still don't get the gist of it.
Hmm.
Of what it means and how it goes. Okay. So we're still having problems in that area.
Okay.
Anybody else want to share? Add?
Just listening. Well, I just like to say, I noticed in both chapters of the Deuteronomy and Matthew, they do speak on the same term. And as we as people, my question is relevant too. As we're speaking on love, is it hard to love a thief and a murderer?
I think probably is. It wasn't for Jesus. And for me, it's not. Okay.
Both of those ain't about.
We're supposed to. That was the word. Supposed to. So when you get to the day when you say, I love everybody, or we love everybody, we can say supposed to, but it's going to take us to the action with what it is that we're doing. So on this journey that we're about to take, of Christian maturity, you know, it's going to take us some work. It's going to take some digging in. It's going to take us to grow up, because there are going to be areas that personally we're going to expose. I don't know what your area is. You don't know what my area is. But we all have areas that we need to learn. We need to grow. We need to do better in. And so, the only way that we can do that is through God's word. Reading his word, breaking it up, talking about it, and being willing to shape. Because the thing is, a lot of times we can walk away and not even know that we've helped somebody else, that we've blessed somebody else, that we've encouraged somebody else. Just by your comments, just by what you're willing to share. Because the truth of the matter, we're all in this together. This thing called love that God would have us to do, to love like his son loved, came here on this earth and gave his life for us, we don't always have it quite right. And yes, we are working towards being that. We want every last one of us to grow and to learn, to get better, to do better, to be better. Because as we each grow, learn, and become better at it, guess what? We encourage the next one. We bring the next one along with us. And there is no respect of person. So it doesn't matter that it's if Minister Holmes or Reverend Bass or Reverend Hughes or Diggins Evans or Diggins Post or Dignus Greenhill, you know, all of us, regardless of who we are, what our call is, our walk is, God has called us to love. And that is not always possible. So the thing is, we have to do self-inventory. We have to say, okay, God, what first step? And I am to love the Lord God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind. What does that mean to me, Lord? Where am I falling short? Where am I not doing what it is that you've called me to do? And I can't answer that for you, and you can't answer it for me. But I will say there is somewhere along this line that every last one of us is falling short.
Why I made that comment, Robin, because I do know these people. They are alive, you know, and I run across them occasionally. One has been a thief and one has been a murderer. You know, I know these things, but I don't treat them any different. You know, I try to accept them when I see them, I speak, you know, and everything. But I brought that question up because, yeah, like I said, I do know these people. I mean, some people like to, even if they think I've forgotten, they like to say, well, you know he did, you know how we are. And to some point, you know, when you think about a thief, you know, when you say a person is a thief, it's not feel like, you know, we can't trust them to a point, you know, we don't know what they're going to feel from this man or what. So we don't do all of this, and I say that. But like I say, you know, we have to realize Jesus was on the cross with a thief beside him. And he told him we're going to be in paradise.
Right. Right. I agree with what was just said. And the thing that comes to my mind that I think about is the fact that we keep saying the word love, and what we need to do is love. And it's almost as if we're not for sure exactly what, still don't know what love is. The definition, there are different forms of love, you know, but when it comes to that godly love, that, you know, Jesus did display that throughout his walk of life. The time that he was on the earth, and, you know, that was shown for example. And what I think about, when I'm thinking about this whole thing about love, is that when Judas decides to tell where Jesus is at, and he actually has to present himself, or you know, show him Jesus, and he kisses Jesus, and Jesus already knew that Judas was going to do this from jump, you know, it's like, because a lot of times we go off of emotion of what we know, it's to the point where, okay, I'm supposed to treat this person the same. And Jesus then, the word that he says is Jesus, everybody okay? Everything all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jesus doesn't come off, you know, nasty on Jesus. He doesn't do any of that. When it came time for him to be taken away and the soldier's ear got cut off, you know, that love is regardless of what he had, what you're doing to me, I'm still gonna heal you. I'm gonna give you your ear back. You're gonna be all right, you know. He did things even in a moment when you would think somebody would be like, oh, well, you just lost it. You lost him here. That's it. You know, he feels so compassion, concerned. It's those things like that we have to look at and pay attention to. Like, Jesus, when he was going to his destination, you know, he paid attention to people. He knew he had a process that he was taking. He knew he had to go somewhere, but at the same time, he paid attention to people, the ones that people didn't look at or, you know, would have done to the side. And those are things that we all are supposed to do as far as loving is concerned. And I think that we all need to be able to reflect more on that. Look at the little things that Jesus did, because he gave the example. He walked this earth. He showed the example of what living in spite of, you know, how to love. When you do receive love, because his mother showed him love. He knew he was loved by his mother. He knew how to also show her love. He offered his mother. You know, there's different avenues of ways to look, because I think we say the word love, but we so are we really paying attention to what it actually means? Because not only did he heal, he also rebuked when needed to. You know, and when he did rebuke, he did it in a way that was acceptable. You know, it didn't make somebody, like he told the harlot, you know, that you weren't even around. However, you know, I am the water. You know, you can drink from me. You know, I'm that living water. He lets them know. Yeah, I know your body. I know what you did. And that's what it is. But here, I offer you. I offer me to you. You know, so. Yes. So, Mr. Holmes unpacked a lot right there. With that, even in Jesus knowing, he still loved. And so, our challenge for this week is, until we meet again, love. What does that really mean? What is it saying? What is it, you know, and just go back to
the scriptures that we talked about. So you may want to read 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter, because it does talk about that. And be in prayer. You know, be in prayer. Ask God to speak to you. You know, do research. Find out, you know, go to God. Find out what it is that God is saying. Because even as we share God's word one with another, even as we talk about love, it's going to discover, rediscover, dig up the ways that maybe we haven't loved. And that may be ways that we have loved and we can share with one another. Because this whole process is about iron sharpening iron. It's about every last one of us that is on this call, that's going to take this journey for this Bible study. It's about every last one of us becoming better. Learning how to love that. And what does love? What does that mean? Because we will say in a heartbeat, I love you. But put to a test, what does that mean? What did you say about here?
Try me and see.
Oh, okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I hear you. You know, it takes digging in. It takes us connecting to one another. Because a lot of times, we will say, I love you. But do we show love? So love is not just words. Love is through action. It's through action. So sometimes our actions don't love well.
Mm-hmm.
Our actions don't love well. So because we're going to deal with love, we're going to deal with growing. Because, as I said again, the only way that we grow through this spiritual growth, that we really have to get to know God and love so that He can teach us to love one another. And so this is prayerfully going to bring up a change in every one of our lives. In every one of our lives. And even if we've been loving each other great and wonderful, we're going to even be better. We're going to just have people amazed. They're going to walk away saying our folks like, woo! I know it can get them. But it can't. It can't. And so, with that being said, and this Bible study, because we don't, we're not meeting in person, I'm basically going to try to stick to scripture. And so, with that being said, the scriptures. And I won't even go ahead to next week. Next week, Wednesday at 6:30. But I want to encourage each one of you, as you just pray about, read God's word, and ask Him for understanding, just to speak to you on the subject of love, on growing, on what it is that we have done or haven't done, and just keeping Him in the forefront. I also would like to challenge you to do a Bible reading plan. I don't know how many of you are readers and enjoy reading, but if you would, from starting tomorrow to next Wednesday, if you would read Genesis, starting the first chapter through Genesis 15, and that's like 3 chapters a day in Genesis. But it's up to you how you read what you want to do. And Matthew 1-5. And so, then Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that would be 3 chapters a day in Genesis and 1 chapter in Matthew. But if you're just a reader and you want to go to school, what I'm encouraging you to do is to find Jesus in, not, well, Genesis is going to be God. Find what it is that it stands to you. What it stands out to you when you read that. And I know we have some Bible scholars on here. So with that, I'm sure you've probably already read, but read it again with a new set of eyes. And if I need to text or email, or if you can call me, do that, and I can get you all of that information. So, is there anyone that have any questions or anything at this point?
I want to know where you said started in Genesis.
Genesis, the first chapter, verse 16.
Verse 16.
Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis 15.
Oh. Okay, thanks.
And then Matthew chapter 1 through chapter 5, okay?
But I was going John and James today, and they're talking about love too.
Okay. So, yeah, and so in your devotional time, your reading, anything that you find that points you back to love, I want you to, you know, journal it, write about it. Think what it says to you. Because prayerfully through this process, we will be at a more awareness of love. When we're showing love, when we're not showing love. Because if we're not showing it, then that's the time for us to work on getting it right. Because we're going to fall short. We're human. But it gives us something to work on. Are there any other questions or concerns?
I think everything was beautiful. It's a beautiful idea. Because if we have need to be more drawn closer to the word, we need to man.
Yes, sir.
I want to say thank you so much, Mr. President, for inviting us to come share with you. And I want to thank the reviews for joining with us, for all of you. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to thank both of my church families, Stella Creek Baptist Church in Mount Nebo, for being a part of this Bible study.
And thank you,
we're in a time where it takes all of us coming together.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it takes all of us coming together and showing love and compassion for one another, because that's where we are and that's what you need. And so the more of us coming together, loving one another, encouraging one another, we can only be better at what it is that God would have for us. So I just truly am thankful for the opportunity to be connected to two churches. So I thank God for His grace and His mercy, and for everybody that joined in, and whether you're from Mount Nebo or Summer Creek or some other church, not really sure, could have some others on the line. As we take this journey, we just want to really learn to love God, that we can love each other better. Okay. So is there, I know when we first came on, we did go through and a couple people said who they were on the line. If you didn't get an opportunity to say your name, I know I have my uncle and aunt
from Upper Marlboro, Maryland on the phone. Thankful for their presence tonight. Was there anybody else from that joined us? Just thankful for you, and we're going to be ending in prayer in just a few. Diane. Hey, Miss Diane.
Hello.
Hey, Keisha.
Hey,
Latricia.
No worries. God bless.
Mail that class. Hey, I'm playing Uncle Belvin.
Hi.
Well, you have to be.
Uncle Jimmy and Uncle Elsie. Okay. So if not, we are thankful for everyone that joined us on the call, and we're ready to go to God in prayer. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for what our ears have heard, what our hearts have felt, Lord. Lord God, we ask that you just give us a heightened state of awareness when it comes to love, Lord, that we would learn how to love the way you would have us to love. Lord God, that as we dig into your word, that as we search your word, as we examine ourselves, Lord, we ask you to speak to us, that you make us aware of the areas of our lives that we need to work on. And Lord God, that we are able to help one another, that we are able to encourage one another, that we are able to just lift one another up. We thank you for every person that's on this phone. And Lord, we just ask that you would keep us in your care, Lord God, that you would protect us in our going in and coming out, Lord God, that your hands would stay upon us. And Lord God, that you would continue to grow us and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Love you, man. Have a great night, and I will talk to you on next Wednesday, if not before then.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.